I'm Debbie McDowell, and I am working with Jan Mulgarth today, who's going to be leading the walk along with Nick and Laura, getting back up there with Coastwise, my God, how flat, Coastwise project that's run through Solway for partnership. And Nick will tell you a little bit more about that. Jan's going to talk to you a little bit more about sort of the history of the area, the place names, and I suppose one of the most important things that we're trying to capture with this project is colloquial names, names that are used locally that maybe aren't already on all these maps. So we're going to take you through a little bit of a process this morning, plenty of tea and cake and sugar and just to keep you going while we're doing that. And then we'll go out for a walk up Wardlaw Hill and just to sort of locate ourselves with these place names and look at why they might have been called that with regards to their position in the landscape. So, I will hand you over to Nick, who is going to give you a bit of a background to the project and the purpose of why we're here.
Okay, so the project is called Coastwise, and the general principle is that we think that the more that people know about their coast, the more they're going to care about it and the more they're going to tell other people about it. So the purpose of this workshop today is to get two groups of people together, some local people that know those names and histories about it, and also some people from far afield, from Dumfries, that have come down come to find out about these things and to learn a little bit more about the landscape and to actually appreciate what we've got, because we've got a fantastic coast and this is our chance to have a look at it. So Coastwise, it's about history, but it's also about today. It's about people today and what they call places. And I am really interested in old maps and the way that names have changed and what they mean originally, and not only what they mean as where the name originates from, but the languages that brings out and the history that it all brings to us and explains to us how we've had waves of different languages coming in and how that's altered the places that we've called them. But for me, it's much more important and much more interesting to learn about those names, as Deb's meant, those unofficial names that aren't on ordnance survey maps, but that you all use, or maybe just sections of you use. So it's different people. So farmers might have certain names for places, whereas the half netters might have different names, or you might just have your own family name for a certain place. And we've already been having a bit of interaction on Facebook and by visiting local people. And so we've collected some names already and also done some investigation in some. So I'll give you an example of just two. One is Phyllis's. Most of you will know Phyllis's or Phyllis's Corner or Phyllis's Creek. And there's already on the Calaveroch Community Association website, there's also already a wee interview with a man whose name I've forgotten his name.
Stephen Powell.
Who tells a story about when he was a wee boy, he used to go down on the shore collecting bottles, because they could get money back in those days on their glass bottles. But they were all always a bit wary of going near Phyllis's, because she lived in a hut on the shore. And she looked like a witch, and they were never really sure whether she was a witch, but they didn't want to test it out, really. So they sort of gave her a wide berth. And she died in 1942, so you can see that she's not been around for a while, but still everybody knows it as Phyllis's Corner and Phyllis's Creek, because she was a lady there who was obviously a memorable person. So sometimes places are named after people, sometimes after the features that are there, and sometimes these features have disappeared under the Merse or been revealed again, and it's those kind of things that we're really interested in. So we've started to mark on the map here. You can see different names that we've found. Some of them are from old maps. So another angle that I was quite interested in was that we found an old map that shows all the stake net names that there were. Those pink names on there, they were the stake net names that were marked on a map. And I was wondering whether there were similar names for the stake nets further around this corner. Although I've recently then read a report by Mr.
Stober,
who explains how every year the local tenants would draw a straw as to where they could put their nets up, and then they would all rush out and choose the best location. So it sounded by that probably the locations changed every year, maybe, or and therefore maybe they didn't have a permanent name, or that name was associated with that tenant, so it was their name or their farm or whatever. So maybe I'm looking for names that don't really exist. Who knows? So this is the kind of thing that you can tell me. So, and it's recording this information and giving people the tools to find out these kind of information. So one of the things that we have here is some information sheets, because now we've got the interweb thing. It's amazing what you can find. And there are two particularly good resources. One is the National Library of Scotland maps, where you can go on, it tells you how to get there, and you can find all these maps that I've printed out here are from their website. And you can actually hone in on your area, and there's also sliders and things that you can go between the old map and the existing aerial view, so you can see exactly where you are and what was on old maps at different times, right back to sort of Roy's map of 1750s and things like that. So that's really exciting. And the other thing that you can do is there's a place called Scotland's Place Names that you used to have to pay to get one, but it's recently become free. And you can go on there, and this, again, it tells you how to do it, but you can type in certain names. And in the 1850s, when the Ordnance Survey was first doing the surveys of these areas, they went around asking people what the names of places were, and sometimes they asked them why it was called that, or what it was. And so you can look at that, and you can see in 1850 exactly who thought what was named what, and which name they chose, and why it was called that. Actually, unfortunately, in this area here, the surveyor seemed to be much less interested in why it was called something. So it more just describes it is a farm and it's called Hollins or something like that. Whereas in other places, they may be a little bit more earnest and were sort of saying, well, why is it called this? And I think sometimes led up the garden path as well. I think sometimes the locals made things up just to get in the way. There's some very strange descriptions as to why something was called something. And just probably made up by their fertile imagination. So the purpose of today is to see if we can find any more of those colloquial names or any more stories attached to those. Because what we're saying is every place name has a story attached to it, either attached to the actual how it got its name, or possibly because something has happened there since and you've all got stories for us to tell. And we're going to record all those and gather them on paper and put them on our website and make them available to people. But we're also going to try and encourage people to also do some oral recordings as well. So we have got recorders, and if there are people who would like to do recording of friends and family, and to record some of these stories, then we would really like to get involved in that. It's a 2.5 year project, so we've got plenty of time, but we need to show that we're making some kind of progress, so this is a first step. I've probably talked enough about Solway Coastwise. It's myself and Morag who are working on the project, and yes, we've got Debs and Jan here to help us introduce these kind of things to people out looking at the landscape. So we've got old maps that I can talk about forever about and bore people with, but I won't. I'll hand over to Jan.
Hi. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a background in sort of what we're doing this afternoon. So we're going to go up Wardlaw Hill. I'm sure a lot of people have been up there already, and it's such a fantastic place to survey the landscape. The thing I sort of come from a farm and studied environmental art, and one of the things I'm really interested in is how you connect with landscape. So for me, looking at a map is really interesting and the place names fascinating, but they really become real when you're standing in that landscape and you're looking across the hills and you're looking across the Solway. And there's also, I've sort of been doing some research over the last couple of days, which I'll share with you when we're up the hill, because it's much better when we're up the hill. But there's a lot of connections between names and stories, but also with folklore as well, and kind of layers of history. So, names change through thousands and thousands of years, and they evolve, and there's kind of like, myths about where they come from, and sometimes the myths are the things that are the most interesting part of it. And I suppose, in a way, we are trying to capture today modern myths. So, it could have been you know, somebody walking home one night from the pub in Dumfries had some, you know, something happened to them or some adventure, and then a place name evolved from that. So it's about the past, but it's also about the present and the future. Also, I think this landscape's absolutely fascinating, the mouth of the Nith, because it would have been of huge strategic importance through time from the very, you know, first time when people started living in the landscape here, through the centuries, and it was a huge area of power to be, to have control of the mouth of the river that, you know, travelled up through this field to Glasgow. So I think strategically, Glaverick's always been a really important place. And you can really feel that when you're up at Bordlaw. I hope the weather clears and the mist clears and we get to see lots. So I think what we're hoping to do today, this Debs and myself and Nick, and just maybe if you want to come and have a look at the maps and maybe just share with us any place names that aren't on the maps or any stories that aren't on the maps that relate to the place names. And what we're going to do is we're going to mark them up so we know where they are. And also we could start thinking about the names that are already there and where they might come from. Okay, thank you. So if you want to gather around and do that.
And also your favourite places, that's the other thing, because you guys all love sort of favourite places around about here.
Quite a lot of you, should I?
That's a story!